Please be seated. If you find Jesus hard to follow sometimes, you are not alone. Just a minute ago, if you were here last Sunday, Jesus said, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. After telling the paradigm-shifting story of the Good Samaritan, last week we explored the paradigm of loving your neighbor not only in the act of showing mercy to those you least like to associate with, but also the often underemphasized act of receiving mercy from those you least want to deal with. It is through our willingness to be in both positions of power and vulnerability that generation-long amity may be transformed into friendship. Remember Jesus' last commands for his disciples. You too should watch each other's feet in John's Gospel. I watch so many Christians solely focus all their efforts on washing others' feet and struggle immensely when it is time to have their own feet washed by others, lest someone who has less social or economic power than they do. When we are reluctant to have our feet washed by others, we fail to recognize that dropping our pride may not only do us good, but also participate in God's work to transform our relationship with others with mutual dignity and belonging. Yet, right after telling this parable, Jesus arrived at the house of Mary and Martha. This time, he appeared to be picking on the doer in the family, dear Martha, who was running off her feet to provide Jesus with the hospitality that he didn't get from the Pharisees, he didn't get from the teachers of the law, or when he went through the tongues of the Samaritans in earlier chapters. It's baffling. Can you just plainly tell me to do or not to do? But that is exactly the mastery of the way of Jesus, the school of the heart of God. I like to see Jesus runs the school to the heart of God. It is never one thing or the other, for that is black and white dualistic thinking. After all, Jesus is the Christ who in him all things hold together. I really appreciate Morgan when he was reading Colossians, actually, paused to emphasize, in him all things hold together, as proposed by Paul while he was addressing the anxiety-stricken Christians in Colossae. Christ holds all things our human mind sees as opposites together in tension. Doing and being, learning and serving, contemplation and action. They are held together in the heart of God so that they are no longer one or the other, but together, all together for the good purposes of God in creation. In this relatable story that involves our two protagonists, Martha and Mary, Jesus, what did he do first? He first models to his follower the art of receiving. He and his entourage received hospitality from the household of Martha and Mary. This exchange of hospitality leveled the power dynamic between the teacher and the students and opened the door to the development of a genuine relationship where mutual transformation took place. During this exchange, Jesus, who sees what is on our hearts, noticed that Martha was distracted by her many tasks. The biblical word for distract, parespeo, means literally to pull away from the center. To pull away from the center. Imagine yourself walking the meditation grass labyrinth outside. I think the labyrinth is feeling a little bit lonely these days. I don't see enough people walking on it. Your goal is to mindfully walk towards the center, the symbolic place of the heart of God, where we will find rest and inspiration. Yet something keeps pulling you away from the center. This is the spiritual state of distraction. What was pulling Martha from her center? Luke told us that it was her many tasks. Funny enough that his choice of Greek for the word task was diakonia. The same word we use in the church for a deacon, for service, or for ministry. Martha was distracted by her many ministry, by her many service in the name of God. Luke obviously was addressing a problem that he witnessed in the early Christian communities when ministry was pulled away from the heart of God, the very place where ministry should begin and end. Let us all pause and take a moment. Is there anything that is pulling you from arriving at that place where the heart of God is today? What are these things that are pulling you away from the heart of God? What are you doing about it? In our story, meanwhile, Luke tells us that Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listens to what he was saying. Something that women of her day, and arguably today still in certain cultures and some segments of Canadian society, would not be permitted according to their gender roles. She was expected to join her sister Martha behind the scenes and not to be the student sitting closest by the teacher. A special place reserved for the male student protege. To make the point even more striking, the Greek word handpicked for Jesus' sayings, Mary was listening to Jesus' saying, was logos, a word reserved to refer to the organizing logic of the universe, which John, the evangelist, adopted years afterwards to refer to the word that became flesh in his gospel. So, Jesus, by affirming Mary, her place of learning at his feet, broke down the barrier of gender role and by extensions, all other social barriers and flung the door wide open to invite all those who have been marginalized and was told that they don't belong to the kingdom, yet decide to find their way to the heart of God. This invite extends to Martha, to you, to me, to those who are feeling undeserved, who are still wrestling with the traumas of past rejections and abandonment. The key to interpreting this story lies in resisting the choice between doing the important work of ministry and taking time to listen to, study God's words, and pray. The story teaches us that prioritizing the time to be fed by resting in God's presence, studying and meditating on God's words, empowers us to engage in Christian service and ministry in a way that keeps us close to the heart of God. One leads to the other, not one or the other. Or you can look at Mary and Martha at two sides of the same coin, the same Jesus coin. It doesn't matter which side you begin with. The important thing is to remember to flip to the other side. What do I mean by that? If you are feeling ministry no longer gives you the joy you once had, you are feeling overwhelmed, overworked, worrying about who is going to carry on when you step down. If you are feeling on the verge of wearing yourself out in your ministry, both inside and outside of the church, try turning to the feet of Jesus and sit down through prayers, meditation, study, regular participations in the sacraments, and all the other spiritual practices that the Center of Spiritual Renewals offer to engage you to practice in. On the other hand, if you have been sitting way too long at the feet of Jesus and are stuck at getting deeper and closer to the heart of God, flip the coin, engage in serving others, especially those who are not like you. I want to tell you a story. I met Reverend Barry Morris and the late Sheila Patterson at St. James, Vancouver, in the downtown east side, my first parish some 20 years ago. Barry was a middle-aged United Church minister who had served the neighborhood, First United Church and the Longhouse Church near Commercial Drive. Sheila was a parishioner of mine and an acclaimed actress, still active in TV, films, and theater productions into her late 70s. What was common between Barry and Sheila was that they were both staunch advocates of social justice causes. I kept running into them at the same rallies, protests, marches, and picket lines. Barry told me once a conversation he had with Sheila. Barry, who was much younger than her, had been running off his feet and feeling exhausted doing the tireless and thankless work of direct service and advocacy. He asked Sheila how she was able to keep up with such passions and ferocity at her age. Sheila, very humble despite her background, tried to shrug it off first, but ended up saying, "I attended High Mass every week and found my sustenance at the altar. Those who have much and those who have nothing gathered around the same altar, drinking from the same cup. It gives me a glimpse of the kingdom of God, and that keeps me going." Barry thought about that conversation with Sheila often when he felt tired and weary. Friends, we began 2 weeks ago with Jesus' challenge to receive from strangers as he sends the 70 followers into the village to proclaim God's kingdom, heal the sick, and cast out demons. Last week, I challenged all of us to receive mercy from those whom we least likely would seek mercy from, reflecting from the parable of the Good Samaritan. To complete this Joy of Receiving sermon series, I implore you to take every opportunity to receive from Jesus. Receive from Jesus whenever you notice you have been pulled away from the heart of God, the place you find yourself as God's beloved child, regardless of your age and experience. And a final pitch: the Center for Spiritual Renewal is planning an event in the fall in the form of opportunities for us to reflect and learn about mutuality in Christian service. We invited a speaker who is very involved in such a ministry from an organization called Eternal Anchor from Mexico through Genie's connections. And I would invite you, if you want to get deeper into the joy of receiving, may that be so. Amen.